His first time to preach in our church, and I'm glad to have him, just like Brother Hemphill a couple of weeks ago. And I do enough speaking in churches to know, folks, that best thing you can do for a guest speaker is just make them feel at home. So you'll enjoy it, Bible preacher, and we'll enjoy the message as soon as Faith is through singing. Thank you, Faith. Amen.
Thank you for being here tonight, for sure, and I sure do appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to be here tonight. And I tell you what, I want to say thank you to this church for sharing your pastor with America. You have one of the greatest, if not the greatest, pastor pulpiteer in America, and for you to share him with the rest of the country is very kind. And I tell you what, he has helped America in ways that you don't even know, and helped preachers in ways that you can't even comprehend. And so I just can only speak for myself, but what a privilege it is anytime that we get the opportunity to get around Brother Angel in a meeting somewhere or at our own church, and just a privilege. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. We do appreciate it, and I know as a pastor, the church people don't care for the pastor being gone, but at the same time, in the Lord's work, sometimes we just do what the Lord needs us to do. Amen. But I sure appreciate that. I'll be honest with you. When you come to a visiting church as a guest, you kind of want to preach something that's a little more motivating, energetic, more a little bit more fire, if you will. But I'll be honest with you tonight. I couldn't get away from the thought here that I'm going to give you tonight. And I would probably say this is one of the things, just in the last few years, that's been the most helpful to me out of the Word of God. Something that's helped me not only as a pastor, but as a father, as a friend. And so that's what I want to try to do tonight. I want to just try to give you that. And so I want to start in Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to read kind of quick. We're going to talk about Judas for a second, and then we're going to transition to the Old Testament really quick. And then I'll take just a few minutes of an introduction and give you my thoughts this evening. If you go in your Bibles to Matthew 26, And if you'll, we'll start in verse 46. Why don't you stand with me real quick one more time, have the reverence for the reading of God's Word. In verse 46 of Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says this, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." I'm going to stop there and let's pray, and we'll say a little bit more about that in just a second. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house with your people. And Lord, what an opportunity it is that you allow us to meet, and we don't have to worry about meeting in a basement somewhere and hiding. And you've given us liberty and freedom thus far, and we say thank you for that. I pray that you would use the time that we have together to help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You understand here in this portion of Scripture, if you want to, you can go to 2 Chronicles 35. We're going to go there in just a second. But in this chapter of Matthew, we find Jesus, and he's basically preparing to die for the sins of all mankind. That's what's happening. You're going to find, as one of the verses we read toward the end there, they're going to find that the leadership was trying, and these are the religious leaders, by the way, were meeting to plot against Jesus Christ. And the book of Matthew shows the connection, Mary's worship, if you will, and then there's that one of Judas's betrayal. It was after the feast in Bethany that Judas went to the priest and offered his help. And that's, if you want to take the time, we won't take time tonight in Mark chapter 14 that elaborate a little bit more. But I feel the Lord's rebuke is what triggered Judas's response. The way that he, let me just not get ahead of myself. Judas gets so mad about being rebuked that he decides, I'm going to sell Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And you understand what was going on. He was trying to get to a place where he could make something, get something for himself. But people usually reveal who they are when the heat gets turned up. And just as a sideline note, you can be close to Jesus and still die and go to hell. And Judas is a good example of that. He walked with the Lord. He went where the Lord went. He still died and went to a terrible place called hell. You better have a certain time in a place where you know for sure that you're a child of the King. Not what somebody else tells you, but what you yourself knows about that personal day in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ. We know why Judas wanted to sell the ointment. We know why he wasn't interested in paying, taking care of the poor. He wasn't interested in anything other than he knew that that money was going to go into the money changer, and he knew that he was going to have access to use it. He wasn't interested in helping anybody else, and he proved that here just a few short verses later. And so understand what is so amazing to me about this portion of Scripture is the way that Jesus responds. You know, Jesus calls Judas a friend. And that's amazing that he would do that. But what I want you to try to get a hold of, and I will use this as a two-part illustration introduction, but with this man right here, do you understand that even Judas, Jesus knew Judas's M.O., if you will. He knew that Judas was the one that was lost. He knew that Judas was the one that was going to betray him. He still called him his friend. Why would he call him his friend? Well, because Jesus knew his will had to be done. Hey, Jesus knew his will had to be done. A lot of times we look at things in our life and we realize that, you know what, we could get upset with whoever in our life, but what we're going to try to accomplish tonight is I'm going to show you in your Bibles just in a second. We're going to go to Ephesians after that. But I want to go to 2 Chronicles really quick, chapter 35. And I want to give you the last introduction thing here, and then I'll jump right into our truth tonight. If you'll go to verse 20 of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, beginning in verse 20. And this is a bizarre story, a bizarre portion of Scripture here. But if you'll just follow with me in verse 20, it says, "After all this, Josiah had prepared the temple. Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish, but by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day.'" And you find there that he was trying to get out of going fighting with Josiah because he said, "Look, I'm not interested in fighting with you." And then just skip down to verse 22. "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. You're going to find that this man died fighting a fight that he should have never got involved with. The man came to him. The man told him, I'm not interested in fighting you. I don't want to fight you. He was so adamant about it, he figured, I better disguise myself in order to even get a fight out of it. And so that's what's happened. So this man begins to take on something in his life. And I want to just get to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And what I want you to understand, there's a lot of times as Christians, we go through life, we fight a lot of things that we really shouldn't fight. We contend with things we really shouldn't contend against. And I think a lot of times what helped me in my life is I got a realization of what this Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the Bible tells me that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means we wrestle not against each other, right? So our fight is not with each other, right? That's the Bible said that. That's not my opinion. That's not what I think. That's what the Word of God is very specific about. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But who do we wrestle against? Who's our fight against, the Bible says? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to preach for you just a few minutes tonight on the subject, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. You know what, the thing that I have, in the last few years, the thing that's been the most helpful to me in all of the world was the simple fact that no matter what's happening around me, no matter what some individual says in reference to me or what somebody does in reference to me, I always have to catch myself at this point and remember, hey, my fight's not with people. Satan uses you, Satan uses me, and he catches us in a bad mood, and he gets us to say something that we should not say, and then we're critical or unkind to somebody, and automatically we want to retaliate. We're upset. We want to retaliate, but what if we'd stop ourselves and get a hold of the fact we wrestle not against flesh and blood? My enemy is not the people that I go to church with. My enemy is not my spouse that I live with. My enemy is not my children. My enemy is not my co-workers. My enemy is Satan. And as long as Satan is the influence in our life, and as long as he's able to get in our life and make us think things, which I'll get to in a little while, there's a great danger in assuming things. How many times have you thought somebody said something or did something and you found out to be wrong? You know, it's a danger in assuming some things, is it not? You know, I won't take the time to get into that, but you're going to find, I want to give you just a few short minutes tonight on the subject, don't take it personal. Let me just simply say the first thing that I wrote down tonight as far as my notes, and these are personal things. This is something that I try to preach to myself. This is something that I try to continue to work on, continue to graduate to, is the simple fact they don't mean anything by it. Number one. Don't take it personal because they don't mean anything by it. Listen, you're not their enemy. They may have had a bad day. They may have decided they wanted to be critical. Maybe they know something about you, but ultimately, they're not trying to destroy you. Nobody's on a campaign to destroy you or wreck you or ruin you. That's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that everybody's against you and nobody and people are talking about you and people are leaving you out. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But listen, there's a danger in that. Hey, listen, so often the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If the Bible tells me that, no matter what they're saying out of their mouth, I know in my heart, because the Word of God said so, my fight's not with them. My fight's not with them. No way. Hey, listen, I've so many times I've sat and nodded my head and smiled on my face and just, you know, where my human flesh wants to retaliate. My human flesh wants to fight. But you know what? As it comes to the mind and Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those people are not my fight. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe Satan influenced them somehow, some way. Maybe something that's taken place in their life earlier that day. And they just fall prey and they're susceptible to that. And they get involved and they say things and they do things they shouldn't do. I'm telling you right now, the difference, why so many people get out of church? Because people. People left them out. People talked about them. People criticized them. People made fun of them. People didn't look out for them. All these different things. And people start walking away from church. But folks need to realize we don't go to church for anybody else. We come to the house of God to be a blessing to others that are around us, to come and get in on the preaching of God's Word. But ultimately, hey, whatever. If, hey, if somebody's talking about you and criticizing you, they're leaving somebody else alone anyhow. Right? That's what I always say to myself. I say, well, if they're criticizing me, they're leaving somebody else alone. Amen. You know what I, you know what the Lord, the way, the what the Lord spoke to my heart the most in reference to this subject? When I got my feelings hurt, probably the last time I can remember in a while, God says, you think you're something, don't you? That's where we are. The nerve of you to talk to me like that. I mean, you know who I am. You know what I'm talking about. That's how prideful and arrogant we are. No, hey, what's wrong with somebody talking about us? We have to reap what we sow, right? Has anybody never talked about anybody before? Has anybody never criticized anybody before? That's all right. God don't pay on Friday. That's one of the things that I remind myself. You know what? I have criticized somebody before. You know, I have been negative before. And every time that it comes into my life, that's one of the first things that I remember is you reap what you sow. Amen. You reap what you sow. And I just simply say to you tonight, don't take it personal. Hey, don't take it personal. You're here for a cause. You're here for a reason. You're here to build His kingdom. It's not about your feelings. It's not about the way you feel. And it's not about how people treat you. It's about what can I do for the cause of Christ? How can I make a difference in Bourbonnais, Illinois? Don't take it personal, because 9 times out of 10, they don't mean anything by it. You know what? They said it one way, but they didn't mean it that way in their heart. You just took it that way. And listen, that kind of stuff's happening all the time in churches. And pastors know, because pastors have to deal with trying to coddle people to say, and then once you get them together and you get it worked out, it's like, well, it really wasn't nothing to that. I know, but see, if Satan can get in there and mess things up, then he'll be glad to do that. But people criticize, left out, offended. They leave churches because they think that people don't want to have anything to do with them or want to leave them out. They have listened to a lie of Satan and how they're going to leave church and watch their family unravel right in front of their eyes. The biggest mistake that I see with families. I'm only 41 years old. I've only been in the full-time ministry for 12 years, so I have not seen everything. I've not seen everything. But one of the things that I see is when these parents get upset about something and they walk out of the church, I'd never hear any good success story with their children. Never. Never. Matter of fact, I could talk from now tomorrow morning about families and their kids and where they're at today, because they got mad about something that happened at church and they left the house of God. Whether they got mad at somebody or got mad at something, they allowed Satan to use that. Listen, Satan don't care how he gets you out of church as long as he gets you out of church. And you know how much he'd like it better? He'd have 2 notches on his belt if he got one of the other brothers and sisters in Christ to get another one of the brothers and sisters in Christ out of church. I mean, that's like a double notch on his belt. Hey, not only did I get him out of church, but I used another brother and sister in Christ to do it. And it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And what I'm just simply trying to challenge you today, hey, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. These people don't mean anything by it. And listen, don't think so much of yourself that you would, it would bother you so much that somebody would say something like that. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. We're not anything anyway, are we? I mean, it's all about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done and what He's going to do. It has nothing to do with me and what I'm doing and who I am and what plateau or pedestal I'm in. Hey, that doesn't matter at all. It's not relevant at all to God. But so many Christians, you better beware. You better beware. You remember tonight, because you beware when you get upset and you get disgruntled and you get mad because somebody has done something to you. You just remember the sacrifice you may be making when you walk out that door as you watch your family unravel right in front of your eyes. Because we're mad about something. Judas got mad. He ran off. Ran off and got mad and sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. So I say to you, As a child of God, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your fight's not your spouse. Your fight's not your children. Your fight is not the people that you're in church with, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your fight's not with the school principal. Your fight's not with the youth director. Your fight's not with your pastor. Hey, your fight is with Satan. And the sooner we identify who the enemy is, then we can be successful in our fight. You know, that's making us the biggest problem over in the Middle East. We're having trouble identifying the enemy. You know, until you identify the enemy, you won't be successful. And I understand that every all these bombers and all these suicide bombers and all these people that are out there, you're going to find not every Muslim is a suicide bomber. Not every Muslim is a terrorist. But it seems so far every terrorist has been a Muslim. But you better identify your enemy. You need to identify your enemy. You don't know who your enemy is, then you're not going to be prepared to fight. And if you're not prepared to fight, you will lose. Satan's powerful, but he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you have that fight. You have that to help. But just as long as you don't get caught up realizing that, you know, that don't take it personal, because they probably really honestly don't mean anything by it. And if they do, it was just the heat of the moment. It'll come and go. It'll come and go. Then the second thing I want to say to you tonight, don't take it personal. When you take it personal, it affects you in a lot of different ways. Let me just say, it'll keep you from topside. It'll cause your mind to wander, thinking that you know that's what someone else is thinking, and all those things start going to your mind. Quitting starts coming to your mind. You know, when we feel like somebody don't like us, or somebody's against us, or somebody's critical of us, it just, I'll be honest with you, it just derails people. And I talked to a church member not too long ago, and they said, this person's saying this about me, and this about me, and this about me. I said, is it true? She said, no. I said, I'll tell you about the time I was an astronaut. I mean, who cares what they say? If it's not true, then who cares? I mean, who cares, right? I mean, you know, just because somebody, hey, it wasn't Jesus Christ that said it right. It wasn't your pastor that said it right. It was just another peer or another person. And you know what we'll do? We'll get all unraveled. We'll get beside ourselves. We'll just want to quit and throw in the towel because somebody said something. Listen, remember, we're going to reap what we sow. And every one of us is criticized, and every one of us is talked about, every one of us has done things we shouldn't do, and then God doesn't pay on Friday, so therefore, you know what, it just happens when it happens, and the best thing we can do is recognize, you know what, maybe this is something I don't like, maybe this is something negative, but the fact of the matter is, this is not my fight anyway. This is not my fight anyway. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's those other things, it's those workers of darkness, Satan and his cohorts. Satan loves for us to think that things are true that are not true. He's a deceiver. What was he described in Genesis as? Subtle. Subtle. That's why when things are coming into churches and taking over churches, the reason it's catching people off guard is because it's coming in just so subtle. And it's so quiet. And it's so easy. And it's so methodical. That's why. And that's the way Satan is. He's subtle. He's a deceiver and he's a liar. And so Satan loves for us to think things are true that are not. What people are saying about you, you start to assume things. You start to assume things. And ever since I started on this 3 years ago, whatever, and this is mainly for myself more than anything else. I did have preached this one time, but to our church people. But you know, what I found, this subject of assuming and assumptions, they'll get you in trouble. I mean, you get yourself in trouble. Well, I assumed that you didn't care, so I just took it. I assumed that you got my text, so you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can assume a lot of things. You can assume a lot of things, but you know what, let me tell you, assuming will cause unnecessary embarrassment and disappointment in your life. Because you assume, I thought you were going to do this, I assumed you said this, I assumed you did this, well, I assumed based upon the circumstances. But you know what? That assuming will embarrass you. See, assume the best in everyone. If you assume the worst in everyone, think about this. That means I'm assuming the worst in every person that I encounter and I talk to. Then what do I got on my mind all the time? Negativity. If I got negativity on my mind, how's that going to affect my spirit? How's it going to affect me as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a friend? I say to you tonight, we got to be careful. Satan loves for us to think things are true that are not even true. And I'm just simply here to tell you tonight that, listen, don't take it personal. Hey, if somebody talks about you or somebody criticizes you or somebody leaves you out, hey, seriously, don't take it personal. Listen, if it bothers you to that point, why not go snuggle up to the Lord? I mean, He's going to be there always for you. He's not going to do like some of the other people around you could possibly do. He's not going to do that. You can find the presence of God if you want the presence of God, because He's always looking to come to the rescue of His children that are being taken advantage of. But you know what happens? We don't give Him a chance because we say, I got this. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But we tell Him, I got this. Is that right? And then what do? Lash out. Write out. Action. And God says, well, you fouled that up good. Now, it's because you let their sin become your sin, I got to bust you too now. You know what I'm talking about? And say, hey, no. I'm justified in what I did because this is what this person did and this is what that person did. And God, you know what sometimes He says? You're just reaping what you sow. I don't like it when He tells me that. I'd much rather Him say, go get them, you know. But that ain't the way it works. Assume. Assume will cause unnecessary embarrassment because we begin to assume things. Hey, you know what? It's a good day in our life when we don't take ourselves so serious. And we don't put ourselves up on some statue, if you will, and dare anybody to knock it off. Now look, folks, if we're focused on what we're supposed to be focused on, the cause of Christ, rearing a family, serving God through the ministry, reaching the lost for Christ, we don't have time to be getting upset with one another. We really don't. And listen, you know what kind of life that it would give you that if you wouldn't let everything bother you and wouldn't let everything offend you and let everything hurt your feelings? You know what kind of life you'd begin to have? Listen, don't take it. Don't. Just because somebody says, don't say, I know what they meant. I know what they were saying. Listen, you can be that way if you want to be that way, but you know what it does? It affects your spirit. And when it affects your spirit, then you know what happens? God says, I want to bless you, but I can't. I always say this to our church constantly. Give God something to bless. You want God to bless you and you want this and you need something to happen in your life? Well, keep yourself in a position to be blessed. Why was Joseph so successful? Why did Joseph have so much in a foreign land? Why? Because he was able to keep his spirit. He was able to keep himself in a position to receive a blessing. And you know what? When people criticize us, we just jump in the sin with them. And you know what? God never does anything because He says, if you think you can handle it, I'll let you handle it. But nobody's going to handle it like He's going to handle it. And you know what happens when we can keep our mouth shut and just sit back and keep our spirit right? Then God moves in. And then not only will God move in and take care of the problem, but then He'll bless us for keeping our mouth shut and keeping our attitude right. And then you know what happens? It's blessing on top of blessings. Why? Because we got a hold of this thing. Our flesh wants to raise up and do whatever, say whatever, and get upset and get in the flesh. But hey, listen, it's a good day in your life where you stop yourself one time. The first time I caught myself, I mean, it never even got out of my mouth. Man, I was proud of myself later on that day. I mean, I just thought I did something, man. Hey, listen. And then when you do it another time, you get to where it's almost entertaining. And people can be saying whatever they're saying, and they're thinking they're waxing you down, I guess, if you will. And it's just, you know what? I'm probably getting what I deserve in my mind. Probably getting what I deserve. And you know what? It ain't about me anyway. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, all things work together for who? All things work together for good to them that are called according to His purpose. So not my purpose. Not what I want. Not what I desire. So it's all about Him anyway, right? That's what it's all about. It's all about Him anyway. And if we can put Him at the forefront, we can put Him as the priority. Hey, listen, it'll be life-changing for you, especially if you're a little hot-tempered, a little bit like I am, just a little bit. You'll think you have accomplished something when you step back, shut your mouth with a smile on your face, and let God do what God does, because He is the one that is the judge. I'm not the judge. I don't have enough sense to be a judge. And why do I need to help God with something that He's already doing just fine in? Right? Right? Listen, folks, this will help. Hey, I'm not arrived by no means, but I have got a hold of this principle, and I constantly work on this principle. Why? Because in order for me to be productive for the cause of Christ, I got to be on top side. I got to be up here. I can't be feeling sorry for myself. I can't be walking around, woe is me. And did you hear what this person said about me? What do you think about what this person said about me? Getting on the phone and texting and all those different things instead of just stepping back. Father, I don't understand what this is all about, but If you don't mind, would you take care of this and I'll keep my mouth shut. But look at, you know what I always love about that type of thing? You can say whatever you want to say, but this is real live experience. God, probably 90%+ of the time when we do that, He always lets you know when He takes care of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you step back and you just want to say and you don't say, want to do and you don't do, and you sit back and you say, okay, judge, okay, vengeance is yours. You take care of it. I'm going to keep myself in a position to be blessed. It's almost like God just lets you get a little peek of what He took care of and what He did. It's amazing. It's amazing. This book is true. When the book says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you've got to get it through your head. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you've heard. It doesn't matter where you've been your whole life in this thinking. Understand this. The Bible is very clear that your fight is not against each other. It's against Satan in the world, in the sin of this world. But it's not people. In closing, I will just say this. I said don't take it personal. I said don't take it personal, but salvation is personal. As we mentioned earlier, salvation is personal. There has to be a time in your life where you come to the realization that you can't get it done on your own. Realize your condition, that you're a sinner. And because of the Bible, the sinner is on his way to a terrible place called hell. But you just know for sure that's not God's design. That's not God's intent. He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. Listen, it's personal though. If you're sitting here tonight and I ask you out loud, tell me about your testimony. Tell me about the day you were born again. Is it very clear? Is it very vivid in your mind? Listen, as a man, maybe a man from time to time may not remember the wedding day, the actual month, and the actual, well, probably the month, but probably won't remember the actual day a lot of times. But he remembers that day. He remembers the incidents. He knows where he's at. He knows what happened because it was a wonderful day, was it not? The greatest day of your life is when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you can't remember the greatest day of your life, then I'd worry about that. I'm not trying to get folks unsaved tonight, but I'm just simply saying, if something as big as the Holy Spirit moves in, the greatest day of your life happens, and it's a vague attempt to remember. Now, I mean, if you've got dementia, I understand that. But I'm talking about people who've been claimed to be saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years or whatever, and they're just not clear, and they're just vague, and they're just not sure, and they're going on what somebody else told them. Listen, these other things, you can let them go. Don't take them personal. But when it comes to this salvation, there's no uh-ohs. There's no do-overs. There's no second chances. When it's all said and done, that's it. That's it. And I don't know who you are today. I don't know if you're here today. I know who your pastor is, and I know what kind of preaching you get. So it won't be because you haven't heard, but I ask you to look at yourself tonight. Examine yourself tonight to find out if you're in the faith. Because no matter what, these other things, you won't be successful in these till you get this first thing down with salvation. Because salvation must happen on an individual basis. Father, I sure do love You, and I thank You so much for allowing us to have a copy of Your book and allowing us to gather together and be around Your people. And well, what a privilege it is to be here in the United States of America and be in a church that loves You and serves You and lives for You. And Lord, I just pray that we as a church body here, we could get a hold of the truth tonight. That different people do different things. But I pray that You would give us the strength to overcome in these areas so that we could be productive for You like we need to be. Lord, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You so much for saving us. Please bless our time of invitation, if You would, tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.
An earful of the truth. I wonder how many problems that would solve if we just didn't take it personal. I was sitting listening there tonight, and I thought, my goodness. Now, Monday, a preacher sent me a text that I took it kind of as a dig at something that I had done recently, ministry related. I was sitting there tonight listening to him preach. You know what? I didn't need to take that personal. He probably didn't mean it that way. And I like what he said. Who am I anyway? That would solve so many problems. So many things he said. Use that text in 2 Chronicles 35 about Josiah getting in a fight. He wasn't even supposed to get in. And that's what happens to us at times. I mean, people might get offended. You mean Satan would actually use me? Well, he used Peter. Where Jesus had to say to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It's so true. People are not our enemy. They're not our enemy. Some of you have been in fusses recently with people, but they're not your enemy. Family, friends, co-workers, they're not your enemy. It's the invisible one who wants to, like he said, end up mixing you in with the mess. Great message tonight. That's an earful for us. What the Spirit of God spoke to your heart like he did mine, I had to pause on the way up here to the pulpit just to ask God to help me with that. There's no sense in me taking that personal the other day, and forgive me, and I'm done with it, beyond it. I wonder what God had for you tonight. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, you beat a path to Brother Luke. Say, I'm tired of fooling around and ready to get saved. I need to get saved tonight. Did God speak to you about taking things personal that you never should have taken personal? How is it with you tonight? Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing this song of invitation. You all made the Lord tonight. I believe God spoke to some hearts tonight. Don't take it personal. You can't be in a church as active as this one, where we're around each other a lot, without somebody saying something. And if you're not careful, you can take it the wrong way. They didn't mean anything by it. Get you all upset, get you worked up, get you nerved up. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Could have been something that somebody said this week, working together over there in the gymnasium. Satan took it and twisted it in your mind, twisted it in your heart. No sense in it. Don't take it personal.